Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to chumbacasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Sir, you now have what is in evidence as Exhibit 188 for identification. I draw your attention, and this is the slide that you considered in responding to Mr. DeSogra, correct?
In response to Mr. DeSogra's analysis of this slide, yes, correct.
And this slide, to be clear, is a slide prepared by your colleague at Aperture, Dr. Judson Welcher, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Sir, could you please read the time that Dr. Welcher states for the when infotainment trigger 1162-2 occurred?
So that would be text stream trigger, just for clarification, but yes, I can.
Well, let's go to that. You use the parlance text stream trigger. Dr. Welcher uses infotainment trigger, but it's 1162-2. You both use 1162-2, correct?
Correct, and I think that may be a misunderstanding of how he's worded it.
Well, Your Honor, I'd actually move to strike that about what Dr. Welcher, I'm just going to what the document says.
I'm just going to leave it, but go on.
Thank you, Your Honor. So the document says that the infotainment trigger 1162-2 occurred at approximately 12:31:38, correct?
Correct.
And that it ended at 12:31:43, correct?
Correct.
So we've got the trigger, according to Dr. Welcher, as of recently as January 30th, 2025, starting at 12:31:38 and ending at 12:31:43, correct?
Correct, according to the Lexus clock.
Right. Yeah. So now let's go down to what says below. Per report from Ian Whiffen, O'Keefe's cell phone data showed, quote, most notably, all device lock events, including the final lock event at 12:32:09, were user-initiated by the user pressing the side button briefly. You see that, sir?
I do.
And did I read that correctly?
You did, with the caveat, that's according to the iPhone clock.
Right, but in any event, that's what Dr. Welcher states on his slide, correct?
Correct.
Do you know, sir, that the iPhone data reported by Mr. Whiffen that you read, that Dr. Welcher references, do you know that report of Ian Whiffen says there was an end of a health event of 36 steps covering a distance of 84 feet that ended at 12:32:16, which is after 12:31:43?
Yes.
And you know that?
Yes, with the caveat those clocks have not been adjusted.
But you know that there was a end of health event of 36 steps covering a distance of 84 feet that ended at 12:32:16, which is after 12:31:43, correct?
Correct.
Just stating the comparison. So now what I'd like to do is to move on with regard to the analysis. So, and Dr. Welcher wrote this. The slide he presented is dated January 30th of 2025, correct?
It's not dated here.
It's not dated.
Yes.
Do you know that Dr. Welcher created a report of January 30th, 2025?
Yeah, I do know he created a report. Correct.
Right, and that's the same date as your report, correct? Your
correct.
First report.
Correct.
So you both submitted your reports on the same date. They're both dated the same, at least, correct?
Yes, if they're both dated the same, yes.
Yes. Are you familiar with the concept of pocket state in iPhones?
I am familiar through Mr. Whiffen's report.
Okay. You said you've read Mr. Whiffen's report, correct?
Correct.
So you know that Mr. Whiffen states that there was a pocket state detected on the iPhone of Mr. O'Keefe at 12:33:14, correct?
Objection.
So the same, I'm going to strike it. Do it the same way, Mr. Lassie.
I will, Your Honor. Thank you. Are you aware of whether Mr. Whiffen has put in the report you read a timestamp for detecting pocket states of Mr. O'Keefe? Are you aware of that in the report at all?
I am aware of that in the report, yes.
Do you know when Mr. Whiffen has noted a pocket state detected of Mr. O'Keefe's phone? Do you know?
So, Mr. Leslie, why don't you show it to me?
That's what I was going to do. I will, Your Honor. And if we could put it on, we've got it, that's already in evidence on the screen.
Okay.
It's already in evidence in screen.
So are you talking about Mr. Whiffen's report? Or you...
Correct. Well, you know what? I'm going to show him the report, Your Honor. I'll do it the way you suggest. Sir, do you recall the specific time that Mr. Whiffen has stated pocket states detected for the phone of Mr. O'Keefe?
No, I have not.
If I showed you a report of Mr. Whiffen, might that refresh your recollection as to when Mr. Whiffen has stated pocket state detected? Would that help?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Sir, I'm going to endeavor to do that. Mr. Burgess,
yes.
I'm going to show you what are two pages out of the report of Mr. Whiffen that you referenced and we've been discussing about pocket state.
Sure.
And this one here, if you just read this line because it's the heading and then the next page, and tell me, sir, with reference to this entry right here, if that refreshes your recollection with regard to a column of pocket state with regard to the phone of Mr. and whether it refreshes your recollection on any comments Mr. Whiffen made about us.
Objection.
I'm going to see you tied off for 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Alessi, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Morning, Mr. Burgess.
Morning.
On your direct examination yesterday, your experience was brought up in questions, correct?
Correct.
On your direct examination, your certifications were brought up in questions, correct?
Incorrect.
There was no discussion in your direct examination about having certifications in Cellebrite and Magnet Forensic Axiom that I
missed? No, if I misheard your question, it was...
I asked about certifications. I'll repeat it, sir, sure. in case I misspoke. On your direct examination, your certifications were brought up in questions, correct?
Yes, correct.
However, on your direct examination, no questions were asked of you at all about your supposed education, correct?
Correct.
And you did not bring up your educational background at all?
Correct.
On direct examination, correct?
Correct.
A forensic examiner must prioritize accuracy, correct?
Correct.
A forensic examiner must prioritize reliability, correct?
Correct.
Both are important?
Correct.
It's criminal proceeding we're in, correct?
Correct.
And therefore, accuracy and reliability are especially important in a criminal case, as opposed to a civil case, correct?
I think that would be equally important in both, but yes.
But they're certainly important in a criminal case.
Correct.
And accuracy and reliability are especially important when seconds and minutes matter, as they matter and as you testify to in this case, correct?
Correct.
You testified yesterday that the events on the timeline contained in your PowerPoint presentation that was displayed yesterday and presented to the jury were accurate, your words several times, down to the second, correct?
Correct. For the Lexus, yes.
For the Lexus.
Yes.
You said they were accurate down to the second, correct?
Correct.
Let's take a look at your PowerPoint presentation that you discussed extensively before the jury yesterday. Mr. Wolf, could we please bring up slide 32 of the presentation Mr. Burgess discussed with the jury yesterday? And Your Honor, with your permission to publish.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, pick your screen.
Sure.
Is this a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed's Lexus vehicle traveling to 34 Fairview Road and the O'Keefe residence?
Yes.
According to your timeline, Ms. Reed's vehicle powered on at 12:36 a.m. on January 30th, correct?
Correct.
Now, is your timeline on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
For the power on and off events, yes.
Yes. Could we go to slide 33, please, Mr. Wolk? And we're going to go through a handful of slides.
Sure.
Mr. Burgess, just give you a heads up. Is this a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed leaving the O'Keefe's residence at 5:07 a.m.?
Yes, it is.
And according to your timeline, Ms. Reed powered on her vehicle at 5:07:46 a.m. on January 30th, 2022, correct?
Correct.
Is the time on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes, according to the Lexus, yes.
If we could go, Mr. Woke, to slide 34, please. And these are all your slides, correct, sir?
Correct.
You prepared them?
Yes.
Is slide 34 a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed traveling to the Dighton residence at 12:25:01 p.m.
12:35:01, correct.
I'm sorry. Thank you. 12:35. And according to your analysis, Ms. Reed powered on her vehicle to travel to Dighton at 12:35:01 p.m. on January 30th, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And is the time on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes.
Slide 35, please, Mr. Wolf. Is this a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed's vehicle being towed by the Massachusetts police vendor from her parents' residence in Dighton?
Yes, it is.
And pursuant to your timeline that you created here, Ms. Reed's vehicle was powered on at 4:11 p.m. on January 30th, 2022, and towed to the Canton Police Department, correct?
Correct.
Is your timeline on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes, this time stamp is.
Slide 36, please, Mr. Wolf. Is slide 36 a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed's vehicle arriving at the Canton Police Department?
Yes, it is.
And pursuant to the timeline you created, Ms. Reed's vehicle powered off at 5:36:42 p.m. on January 30th, 2022, correct?
Objection. Objection. Okay.
Is your analysis down to, is your analysis on slide 36 accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes, according to the Lexus, yes.
According to the Lexus.
Yes.
In point of fact, Mr. Burgess, none of the five timelines that we just reviewed from your presentation are accurate at all, and certainly not down to the second. Am I right or am I wrong?
You are wrong.
Are you aware, and if we could go back to the first slide, which is slide 32, and we'll look at each of them quickly.
Sure.
Are you aware that all of the relevant events in the timeline you described in your presentation in these slides actually occurred on January 29th, 2022, not January 30th, 2022? Do you know that?
This is January 30th, 2022. It's January 29th, correct.
It's January 29th, 2022. And in terms of January 30th, I want to go back and make sure it's very, very clear. In your presentation, they actually occurred on January 29th, 2022, correct?
The night of the incident, yes.
Could I have a moment, Your Honor, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, once that timeline crosses into midnight, it's January 30th, not January 29th, correct?
Correct, yes, it is January 30th, yes.
So in actuality, these five timelines, as you testified to them yesterday, are not accurate down to the second, correct? Because you got the wrong date.
Well, parlance, yes, but yes, they are still accurate to the second.
But the date, these five timelines, let's pursue this. These five timelines are exactly 24 hours off from the time where the event actually occurred, correct?
No. So these events occurred on January 30th. If I misspoke and said the 29th, yes.
Okay. You understand my point?
Yes, I do.
The core basis of your job, your role in this case, is to reconcile time discrepancies, as you say, down to the second, correct?
Correct.
But your discussion of the timeline on each of these slides, on each of these key events, is incorrect, correct?
No, it's not incorrect.
So your discussion of the applicable date, you're saying, as you described it yesterday and interpreted this timeline, was correct? Is that what you're saying now?
This timeline is correct,
but
yes.
My question is your discussion of it yesterday.
If I misspoke and said the 29th, then yes, I misspoke on that, yes.
And that was your testimony yesterday, what you spoke about?
Yes.
Let's turn to a different topic. Actually, to mitigate the inconsistencies that you analyzed yesterday between independent clocks, am I correct that your position is that forensic methodology recommends cross-referencing timestamps from multiple sources to identify discrepancies and, when possible, leveraging time anchors, events that contain both a system timestamp and an external physical event, to identify and correct timing discrepancies? Do I have that right?
Yes, you did.
Yesterday, we talked about the scientific method. You recall that, sir?
I do.
And how it's designed to prevent bias from infecting the analysis. You recall that as well?
Yes, I do.
And yesterday you agreed that experts should never selectively gather and interpret evidence to confirm a pre-existing belief while neglecting evidence that contradicts those beliefs, correct?
Correct.
And doing that is called confirmation bias, which you said you understood yesterday, right?
That is correct.
That would be improper to do that, correct?
Yes.
Raise the specter, if not the reality, of unreliability if that occurred, correct?
It could, yes.
And it could also lead into errors in forensic analyses, correct?
Correct.
Let's take a look at your January 30th report, sir.
Okay.
And this is your first report, your second report being the May 8th report. In your January 30th report, you did not issue any opinion or conclusion with regard to the timing of what you call the text stream event 11:62:02 in your January 30th report, did you?
No, I did not.
You didn't even mention either the phrase text stream event or the phrase 11:62:02 in your January 30, 2025 report, did you?
No, I did not.
But in that January 30, 2025 report, you did evaluate the variance between the Lexus infotainment system on the one hand and Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone data on the other, correct?
Correct.
In fact, in that report, the January 30th report, you compared the call logs on Ms. Reed's Lexus infotainment system with the call logs on Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone in order to evaluate whether there was a variance, correct?
Correct.
And do I have it correct in your report that it's the position that the timestamp call log data, specifically the recorded calls between Ms. Reed and Mr. O'Keefe, along with the infotainment power event logs were analyzed for what you called clock skew by cross-referencing them against other independent data sources, right?
No, so that would have been comparing the timestamps from Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone with the timestamps from the defendant's Lexus.
Right, right.
Correct, yes.
Yes, right, to Ms. Reed's Lexus.
Correct.
And a forensic comparison of these data sets was aimed to identify timestamp discrepancies, correct?
Correct.
To identify potential clock skew, correct?
Correct.
And potential clock drift that could impact event reconstruction, correct?
Correct.
All this stated in your January 30th report, right?
Correct.
Your Honor, may I have this marked as the next exhibit in order for identification?
Yes.
Sure.
Exhibit BBB ID. Thank you.
May I present to the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, I am presenting to you what has been marked as Exhibit BBB for identification. I'd ask you to take a look at it, sir, and then pick your head up when you've had a fair opportunity to take a look at it.
Okay, sure.
Do you recognize that document, sir?
I do.
May we approach you on?
Yes, sir.
What do you recognize that document to be, sir?
Sure. So this is a graph that I put together that is comparing timestamps, call timestamps from the infotainment module with Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone.
And is that exhibit BBB for identification in your January 30, 2025 report?
Yes, it is.
And did you create that chart that is depicted in exhibit BBB for identification?
Yes, I did.
And is that a fair and accurate representation of the information that you discussed in page 33 of your January 30, 2025 report?
Yes, it is.
I offer exhibit BBB for identification into evidence, Your Honor.
If we can introduce the whole report to put it in context.
Why don't I see what's happening?
May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, at this time, I offer exhibit BBB into evidence.
Okay.
They represented to the witness, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, I have represented to you what is now exhibit 189 in evidence. Ask you to once again take a look at it, and if you need further time, please take it, sir, and then pick up your head when you've had a fair opportunity to look at that document.
Okay.
Despite claiming the purpose in your January 30 report of, quote, identifying timestamp discrepancies, potential clock skew, and clock drift, you did not compare the time of the three-point turn between the infotainment system in the Lexus SUV and Mr. O'Keefe's phone, did you?
Not at that time, no.
Instead, you identified the potential variance by analyzing various calls on the infotainment system of the Lexus versus Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
This data in that exhibit captures a precise moment in time that is easily compared between the two devices, correct?
Correct, it does.
Mr. Wolk, Your Honor, may Mr. Wolk please publish this exhibit?
Okay.
So this data, just to reestablish, captures a precise moment in time that's easily compared between the two devices, correct?
Correct.
Now, according to your own table, there are potential offsets of, reading in the far right-hand column, 2 seconds, 1 second, 2 seconds, 1 second, 8 seconds, 16 seconds, and 21 seconds, correct?
Correct.
And yet, you failed to apply this variance to the infotainment time on the Lexus associated with the Techstream event 11622, correct?
Correct. May I explain?
I will proceed along. I'm sure if Mr. Brennan has questions and wants you to explain, he may choose to do that. This is simple arithmetic, is it not? It's either an addition or a subtraction, the offset, correct?
Correct.
And yet, in your initial report on January 30th, 2025, you did not take that final analytical step, did you?
No, because these clock variances do not apply to that time frame.
But you didn't take, you know what analytical step I'm talking about, correct?
No, I don't. I don't believe so.
We'll come back to it. I want to go focus on your opinion. What you did do, as I understand it, in your January 30th report. So, in your opinion, we can leave that up for a moment, please, because I want to see if we need to show the contrast. With your Honor's permission, can we leave it up just a little bit longer?
Yes.
Thank you. In opinion number 5, and please feel free to look at your January 30th report.
Sure.
You indicated only this. The difference between the Lexus infotainment and Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone ranged between 8 seconds and 16 to 21 seconds during the period between 5:21, 36 a.m. and 5:30, 31 a.m. on January 29, 2022. Do I have that correct?
Yes, between 5:21 and 5:30 a.m.
Yes. Now what I'd like to do is, and we can take that down, thank you, Mr. Wolf. Let's talk about what information you learned after you issued your January 30, 2025 report. Or at the time of that report, you received and reviewed a copy of a portion of your colleague's slide presentation and report at Aperture, Dr. Judson Welcher, correct?
From a presentation by Mr. DeSobra, yes.
Well, I understand you want to add Mr. DeSobra. My question is...
Sustained.
Okay, yes, Your Honor. Thank you. I'm focusing on the... What would you like to call it? You call it a slide presentation you prefer, Dr. Welcher?
Sure, we can...
I want to use whatever parlance you're comfortable with.
Slide's fine, yeah.
Slide. So the slide presentation of Dr. Welcher that he submitted the same day you submitted your report on January 30, 2025... and in that, he analyzed the timing of the 11622, what he calls an infotainment event, you call a text stream event, correct?
Well, could I see the slide we're talking about to clarify?
Absolutely, absolutely. All righty. You're aware that according to Dr. Welcher's analysis, as depicted in this slide in evidence, the 1162-2, what he calls an infotainment trigger, that you call a text stream event, right?
Correct.
The 1162-2 text stream event occurred at 12:31:38 a.m. on January 29, 2022, correct?
Correct.
And that's when it began, right?
That's when the trigger threshold was met, yes.
That's when the trigger threshold was met.
Correct.
You also testified yesterday that you reviewed Mr. Whiffen, Mr. Ian Whiffen's January report which established a timeline of the last interactive events on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
Your Honor, could we please publish Exhibit 39, which is in evidence?
Okay.
And we could go to slide 82 and have 83 available, if we could enlarge the applicable sections. And what I'm going to ask you, Mr. Burgess, is to see whether these events are consistent with your memory of what the applicable events are. Do you see the column biometric device unlock with face ID event at 12:32:04 a.m.?
Yes.
Now that's after the 12:31:38 a.m. 11:62:02 text stream event that's in Mr. Welcher's slide, correct, that we just saw?
Correct. The unadjusted Lexus clock, yes. Timestamp, yes.
So, but it's, I'm going to repeat the question. The 12:32:04 a.m. device unlock with face ID event is after the 12:31:38 and 12:31:43 11:62:02 text stream event that is stated in Dr. Welcher's report, correct?
Correct.
Now, do you see the lock event which occurred at 12:32:09?
Yes, I do.
That is also after the 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 text stream event, correct?
Yes, the unadjusted time.
That 12:32:09 a.m. lock event is after the 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 range that is stated in Dr. Welcher's report, correct?
Correct, from the Lexus clock.
So, if we could go back, and we're going to toggle back, with Your Honor's permission, between these two slides for the next couple of questions, if we can go back to and enlarge Dr. Welcher's slide. That 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 time period is what your colleague, the licensed engineer, Dr. Welcher, chose and his slide analysis as the last user interaction, according to him, on John O'Keefe's phone, correct? That's what he chose.
The 12:32:09, yes.
Now, but even Mr. Whiffen's report establishes additional activity on Mr. O'Keefe's phone after the event chosen by Dr. Welcher, correct?
Correct.
And, in fact, Mr. Whiffen identifies a, quote, lock event that occurred 26 seconds after the 11:62:02 text stream event identified by Dr. Welcher at 12:31:38 to 12:31:43, correct?
Correct, using the unadjusted clock.
Does Dr. Welcher at all use the words unadjusted clock in his slide, sir?
No, he does not.
Okay, what I'd like to do is ask you a question about whether, in fact, Mr. Whiffen identifies a lock event that occurred 26 seconds after the 11:62:02 text stream event at 12:31:38 to 12:43, as stated in your colleague's report, Dr. Welcher, the slide presentation. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you know whether a lock event on an iPhone requires human interaction?
Typically, yes, it would.
Is it just typically, or does it?
Well, it does. And in this case specifically, I believe it was via the lock button.
Correct. But this specific instance, the lock, it requires somebody, a human being, to actually press a button on the side, correct?
Unless it's auto-locking, yes, it requires a button press, yes.
Do you have any reason to believe that the iPhone of Mr. O'Keefe had an auto-locking function on it, sir?
No, as I said, he used the lock button.
Right. If we can enlarge that, do you see the end of health event 36 steps that we talked yesterday that was covering a distance of over 84 feet? Do you see that occurring at 12:32:16 a.m.?
I don't believe we talked about that yesterday, but yes, I do see
it. Do you see it?
I do, yes.
And that's also after the 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 text stream event identified by your colleague, the licensed engineer, Dr. Welcher, in his slide, correct?
Correct.
Now, finally, do you see the entry pocket state detected at 12:33:14 a.m.? You see that, sir?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you know what a pocket state is, sir?
I do know what a pocket state is.
Do you know when the pocket states occurred on the iPhone of John O'Keefe pursuant to your analysis of his phone?
I do not.
You didn't analyze pocket state detections on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
No, I did not personally.
Do you believe pocket state detected data? Well, let me just go back and confirm. So you didn't analyze with any source pocket state detection information with regard to Mr. O'Keefe's phone. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So let's go back and summarize for each of the ones you did look at and analyze that you just testified. Every single one of those that we just discussed, those user interaction events, occurred after Dr. Welcher claims a collision occurred as represented in a text stream event of 11:62:02 at 12:31:38 to 12:31:43, correct?
Objection.
Do you understand? Let's, if we can go back, please, to Dr. Welcher's slide. Do you understand that Dr. Welcher is correlating the infotainment trigger 11:62:02 with an alleged collision? Do you understand that?
Objection.
Let's come to sidebar, please.
If we could go now, Mr. Woke, back to the slide from Dr. Welcher's slide presentation. And if you could re-enlarge the applicable section that we've had up before. You have reviewed this slide and this specific data in this slide previously, correct?
Correct.
And you, I just wanted Mr. Wolk, just go back to the slide so we're clear on what this is. So this slide here is what you're speaking about, right?
Correct.
And you've reviewed this slide prior to your testimony in this court, correct?
Correct.
And did you, and you considered this slide as part of your analyses that you have performed and testified about, correct?
Yes, I have.
So now, Mr. Burgess, I'd like to ask you a question. Every single one of the user interaction events that we talked about, steps, lock, etc., occurred after Dr. Welcher's, what he calls an infotainment event, which you call a text stream event, in the range of 12:31:38 to 12:31:43, correct?
I would agree that, yes.
So the answer is yes.
With the caveat.
I'm sorry, you hadn't finished.
Sure.
Please finish your answer.
Yes, with the caveat that user interaction only applies to the device lock. Steps and the pocket state are not duplicative of user interaction per se.
Let's just assume that is the case. Let's then just focus on what you consider to be a user interaction, which is device lock, correct?
Correct.
And the device lock event that you agree is a user interaction, we could go back to that just so we have clarity. The lock event that you agree is a user interaction occurred at 12:32:09, according to Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
In that 12:32:09 time period, we could go back to Dr. Welcher, is after, it is after the end of the text stream event dubbed as 11:62:02, correct?
Correct, according
to... And that's 26 seconds... I didn't finish my question, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
So go ahead and finish your question. Don't answer, Mr. Burgess, until the complete question. Okay.
And that event lock, even according to Dr. Welcher's own words in his own slide, occurs 20 seconds after the end of the text stream event 11:62:02, correct?
Of the unadjusted clock, yes.
May I have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes. Do you want the lights on, Mr. Lessing?
And so to repeat to alter it, hopefully make it a little clearer.
Sure.
So according to Dr. Welcher, the licensed engineers, your colleague at Aperture, his slide that he has here, the last O'Keefe cell phone event, the lock, occurred within approximately 26 seconds after the end of the text stream event dubbed 11:62:02. That's what's stated there, correct?
Correct, according to the unadjusted clock.
You keep adding according to the unadjusted clock, but do the words according to the unadjusted clock appear anywhere in that slide, sir?
No, they do not.
We can take that down and, with the court's permission, turn the lights back on, please. Yesterday, you stated that you reviewed a presentation by another expert, Mr. DeSogra, who reviewed the findings of your January 30th report. Do you recall that, sir?
Yes, I did.
In fact, in your May 8th, 2025 report, your second report, your first being the January 30th report, you only cite two new sources of data that you reviewed before making your conclusions, correct?
Correct.
May I approach Your Honor?
Yes.
I think we need to be heard about MS as well.
Right.
May I proceed, Your Honor, and approach the witness?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to present to you two documents, each of which is marked for identification. The first is Exhibit CCC for identification. That is one slide out of what is marked as Exhibit DDD for identification. And Exhibit CCC is one page out of Exhibit DDD for identification. And I'd ask you, sir, to take a look at those documents and reference either one. And please let me know, sir, when you've had a fair opportunity to review those documents so I can proceed with questions about them.
Sure. Okay.
Sir, can you please read the exhibit designation on the entire slide presentation?
On DDD.
Pardon me?
On exhibit DDD.
And that's triple D as in David?
Correct.
So in exhibit DDD, is that the March 5, 2005 PowerPoint presentation of Mr. DeSogra that you spoke about extensively yesterday?
Yes, it is.
And sir, before you came to court yesterday, did you review and consider the exhibit DDD for identification?
Yes, I did.
And as a matter of fact, you spent considerable time with regard to exhibit DDD before you came to court yesterday?
Correct.
And in addition, isn't it the case that your testimony yesterday is that exhibit DDD, the March 5, 2025 slide presentation of Mr. DeSogra, was part of the reason why you created your May 8th, 2025 report, correct?
Correct.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Your Honor, I offer exhibit DDD, exhibit CCC into evidence, and do not offer exhibit DDD at this time.
Okay. The witness just spoke of DDD, so why don't you have him just say what CCC is before we put it in?
I will do so, Your Honor. Thank you. Mr. Burgess, is exhibit CCC a slide page out of exhibit DDD?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now it'll come.
Thank you for that, Your Honor. I now offer exhibit CCC for identification into evidence.
Yes.
Thank you. And I also hand back to Madam Court Reporter exhibit DDD for identification. And sir, do you have before you read the three letters, please, just so we're on the same page in that exhibit?
Yeah.
That the one that's in?
Thank you.
The one page?
Yes. Exhibit 190.
And that's the entitled All Possible Combinations?
Yes, it is.
So we'll refer to that as Exhibit 190, okay?
Okay.
Have you had a fair opportunity to refresh yourself on that one-page chart?
Yes, I have.
Your Honor, may I please publish Exhibit 190?
Yes.
And if we could enlarge it without... I think, Mr. Wolf, we can obscure for the moment the all positive on the right and come back to that as needed. Now, Mr. DeSogra, who is an expert for the defense, took the data points you evaluated in your January 30, 2025 report and simply performed the last step in your analysis that I was referring to in previous, correct?
Correct, for a lot of data points that do not apply for the time of the accident.
I understand you may have a view as to whether they apply or not. I'm just trying to understand what you understood he did.
Again,
I'll repeat. Yeah. Yes,
so we'll strike the comment part and just a
I'll
question,
repeat
please.
And just go to the question. So you understand that Mr. DeSogra took the data points that you evaluated in your January 30, 2025 report and simply perform the last step in your analysis, correct?
In my report, in addition to Dr. Welcher's.
Right.
Correct.
Now, what I want to do is just elucidate the columns and their meaning. So the column on the right equals the number of seconds, and is the far right, the number of seconds between the end of the 11:62:2 text stream event that in the slide of Dr. Welcher is ending at 12:31:43 and the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone that's occurred at 12:32:09, correct?
Correct.
And that's your understanding of that column as well?
Correct.
Now, even taking your colleague Dr. Welcher's assumption that the last user interaction on Mr. O'Keefe's phone occurred at 12:32:09 a.m. on January 29, 2022, is Mr. DeSogra demonstrating in this chart that by using the clock variance that you calculated in your January 30 report, there are no circumstances where the trigger event of 11:62:2 occurs before the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
Objection.
After.
Sustained. There's one part of your question that needs to be omitted.
In terms of this chart, do you agree that the methodology and application of it of Mr. DeSogra is that Mr. DeSogra took the last user interaction data point of Dr. Welcher in his slide of 12:32:09 and applied the clock variance that you calculated in your January 30th report? Do you agree that that's what Mr. DeSogra did?
No, I do not.
What do you believe Mr. DeSogra did here?
Well, so the math is correct. So when he's trying to adjust clock variances between the two devices, that math is correct, but he's applying incorrect adjustments.
I understand, but what I'm trying to get at is just what you understood Mr. DeSogra did in this chart.
Correct. I did understand, yes, okay, what he was trying to do.
And so do you agree, based upon what Mr. DeSogra did as represented in this chart, there are no circumstances where the 11:62:2 text stream event occurs? Well, let me have you describe what you believe Mr. DeSogra is doing with regard to comparing, based upon this chart, the 11:62:2 text stream event of Dr. Welcher with the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone.
Sure. So he's trying to adjust the clock from the Lexus to the Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone clock. But he does that inaccurately.
Well, I understand you have I understand your comment. But my question, sir, is this. What do you understand Mr. DeSogra is doing with regard to this chart? Do you understand what he is doing in this chart?
Correct.
I'd just like you to state what it is you understand he is doing.
Sure. So he's trying to adjust timestamps.
He's trying to adjust timestamps. In adjusting timestamps, do you agree that Mr. DeSogra makes the point with this chart that there are no circumstances where the 11:62 trigger occurs before the lock event on John O'Keefe's phone?
Yes.
Sustained.
Can I have a moment, Your Honor?
Sure.
Let me see if I can clarify this in this my question.
Sure.
Do you understand that what Mr. DeSogra is doing in this chart is he is showing numerically and arithmetically that there are no circumstances where the text stream event 11:62:2 occurs after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone.
Objection.
I'm going to allow it in that phone.
Yes, I understand he's trying to show that.
Right. Well, he did more than try. Isn't that what he, by his math, that he is demonstrating?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
Yes, but it is inaccurate.
I understand. But that's, again, the question is that what he demonstrates using this chart?
Yes.
And what he demonstrates is that Mr. Tsoga demonstrates that there are no circumstances where the 11622 trigger event occurs after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Yes, inaccurately.
So I'm asking what Mr. Tsoga demonstrates in this report, and isn't it correct that Mr. Tsoga, using this math, Mr. Tsoga demonstrates and concludes that there are no circumstances where the 11622 text stream event occurs after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that. Does that demonstrate that?
Yes, inaccurately. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's.
I would move on, Your Honor. I'm going to move on. And this methodology and approach of Mr. Tsoga is simply math that he's using, correct?
No, it's not simply math.
Well, let's go to the clock variance values in the middle column on that chart. You see that, sir?
Yes, I do.
Those are, as of March 5 of the date of this, that this column was created, nothing in that middle column is new, is it? That data?
Yes, some of that data is new.
Well, the source data upon which it is created is not new, is it?
No, it is not.
All right. So the source data of that column, it's not new.
Correct.
And the middle column uses your data points from your January 30th report, correct?
No, not all of those are.
But it does use some of the data from your January 30th report, correct?
Yes, it does.
Is the reason that you did not take that final analytical step that we've been talking about in your January 30th report, and this is a question, is the reason you failed to take that final analytical support, or excuse me, final analytic step we've been talking about in your January 30 report, was because you knew if you did that, that if you calculated the actual time of the 11622 text stream event based upon your own methodological analysis of the clock skew, there would always be continued interaction on Mr. O'Keefe's phone after the text stream event?
No.
So you deny that?
Yes.
Did you keep your January 30, 2025 report purposefully vague by merely noting a clock skew without engaging in any further analysis, such as tethering that clock skew or otherwise connecting it to the text stream event in Dr. Welcher's slide presentation?
No, I did not.
Switch to another topic. Take that down. Thank you, Mr. Gould. After reviewing, and I'm going to identify three timelines. After reviewing the timelines, you reviewed the timelines presented by Dr. Welcher, one, Mr. Tsoga, two, and Mr. Ian Whiffen, three. All of which established that the 11622 text stream event occurred before that last user activity, the lock on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, you then decided to issue a new report that would become dated May 8, 2025, correct?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
No, so I issued the supplemental report based on that presentation that you just had up.
Well, before you issued that report, isn't it correct that you had reviewed the time data of Dr. Welcher in the slide that we've been reviewing?
Not before that time, no.
You had not looked at Dr. Welcher's slide with a text stream event 1162.2 and a time for that before issuing your May 8th report?
No, yes, before my, sorry, misheard you, yes.
That's my question. Yes. So let me just ask you a question.
Sure.
So it is correct that before you issued your May 8th, 2025 report, that you had reviewed that slide of your colleague, Dr. Welcher, on 1162.2 that establishes the text stream event as 1231.38 to 1231.43, correct?
Correct.
You reviewed it before your May 8th report.
Yes.
Also reviewed before your May 8th report the slide presentation of Mr. DeSogra, correct?
Yes, I did.
And before you issued your May 8th, 2025 report, you also had reviewed the January 2025 report of Mr. Whiffen, correct?
Correct.
Each one of and all of those three established that the 1162.2 text stream event occurred before the last user activity on Mr. O'Keefe's phone. Correction.
I'm going to allow it if that's what. Let's see what the answer is.
Using either unadjusted timestamps or inaccurately adjusted timestamps, yes.
Let me ask my question again, and if it's not clear, please let me know.
Sure.
After reviewing what we've discussed, prepared by Dr. Welcher, Mr. DeSogra, and Ian Whiffen, each and all of which established that the 1162.2 text stream event occurred before the last user activity on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, you then decided to issue a new report that would become dated May 8, 2025. Is that statement I just made correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Now let's take a look at your May 8, 2025 report. You departed in your May 8, 2000. Sir, do you have that report in front of you?
I do, yes.
Do you need a moment to look at it, or are you ready to take questions?
No, go ahead.
Thank you. You departed from your analysis. Let's start it this way. In this May 8, 2025 report, you departed from your analysis in your January 2025 report to reach a conclusion that would attempt to put the 1162.2 text stream event after human interaction with Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
No, I did not depart from my original report. I clarified.
Okay. So you didn't depart from it, but you, in your May 8th report, but your position is you clarified it.
Correct.
But isn't it correct that in your January 30, 2025 report, you did not address at all whether the 1162.2 text stream event occurred before or after the last user event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
But you did that in your May 8th report, correct?
Correct.
You don't call that a change, sir?
No, sir, I do not.
You call that a clarification?
I do.
In your January 2025 report, you compared call log entries between the infotainment system on the Lexus and Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone to determine a potential variance, correct?
Correct.
And call logs are discrete points in time that are fairly easy to compare?
Correct.
Now, in your May 8, 2025 report, you abandoned the call log analysis from your January 30th, 2025 report, correct?
No, I did not abandon it.
But you did depart from it, at least in some respects, correct?
I did not depart from it. I used another method.
Okay. So you used another method.
Correct.
In your May 8, 2025 report, you opined, as I understand it, that the call log variance has been ignored because, in your words, this offset is measured approximately 5 hours after the time of the alleged collision and cannot be assumed to apply to other time frames as stated in the initial report. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Now, please show me, show the jury, in your January 30 report, where you ever made that statement.
Sure. So that would, it's not worded exactly like that, but that would be in conclusion five.
And conclusion number five is on page 37 of your January. January 30, 2025 report, correct?
Correct.
And you concede at least as much that at least different words are used in paragraph 5 in your January 30th, 2025 report, correct? And your position is that it's the same statement as in your May 8th, 2025 report? Because that's my question.
That is correct.
In your May 8th, 2025 report, instead of applying the offsets from the call logs, which are discrete points in time that are fairly easy to compare, as you stated just moments ago, you decided to use, in your words, quote, approximate time of the three-point turn as your anchor between the two devices. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Isn't what you did and we just discussed a classic example of confirmation bias, which is to be avoided in science?
No, it is not.
So you believe that that is not confirmation bias?
No.
Choosing the three-point turn as the independent data source is the only way you could ever get the tech stream event to even possibly occur after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
That adjustment is the only adjustment that can be applied due to the data, yes.
And that adjustment is the only thing that can be done to get the tech stream event 1162.2 to occur after the lock on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
And that only one is the one that you chose, correct?
Correct.
And that's only because it's not a pinpoint in time. It's an amorphous range that can only, in your words, be approximated, correct?
No, that is because it is the only time adjustment in that time range that can be applied.
So it's your view that that's the only one that can be applied, but it is, and even what you're using is, in your words, an approximate time, correct?
Correct.
Isn't the shortcoming, sir, in your analysis that you ignored the additional user activity on Mr. O'Keefe's device that occurred after the lock event? Yes, I can. Isn't the shortcoming in your analysis, sir, that your analysis ignores the additional user activity on John O'Keefe's device, the cell phone, that occurred after the lock event?
No.
Well, let's take a look at events that, you tell me if I'm correct or not, occur after the text stream event 1162.2.
Sure.
So do you recall our discussion yesterday about the Apple Health data event of 36 steps covering a distance of over 84 feet? Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And do you recall that that occurred at 12:32:16?
Yes, I do.
And that's after the text stream event of Dr. Welcher that he put in his slide, correct?
Correct.
Do you also recall a Doppler pocket state detection at 12:33:14? Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And that is almost an entire minute after the 1162.2 text stream event that is identified by your colleague, the licensed engineer, Dr. Welcher, in his slide presentation, correct?
Correct. And neither one of those are user interaction.
I understand your, well, but let's just take one of them.
Sure.
And that is the Apple Health data event of 36 steps covering a distance of 84 feet at 12:32:16. Would you agree that those steps covering that distance is human activity, at least? Would you agree that's human activity?
Yes.
Thank you. Let's take a look at opinion number 7 in your initial January 30th, 2025 report. And sir, tell me when you had a fair opportunity to locate that.
Okay.
You concluded to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty that, quote, the infotainment module power on events were on average recorded 3 seconds after the ignition release or finger off, correct?
Correct.
That means that your own testing requires an offset of -3 to account for a delay in the power on of an infotainment system, correct?
Correct.
That increases the time between the text stream event 1162.2 and the iPhone lock event by 3 seconds, correct?
Correct.
You testified about this same 3-second discrepancy yesterday during your direct examination in connection with your January 30, 2025 report, correct?
Correct.
However, you did not mention this offset of 3 seconds in your May 8th, 2025 report, did you?
No, I did not. Can I explain?
Mr. Brennan may have questions for you with regard to that. So nowhere in your May 8, 2025 report did you include the 3-second offset that you discussed in your January 30, 2025 report, did you?
Correct.
And in fact, sir, nowhere in your May 8 report do you even discuss why you're not addressing that 3-second, do you?
I do not discuss it, but it is that offset is adjusted within the adjustment that we do with the 3-point turn.
I understand. My question is simply, there's no discussion in your May 8, 2025 report how or why you're not discussing that 3-second offset, correct?
Correct.
I've got a next section, Your Honor, if you would like me to move into it.
So why don't we keep going?
Okay. Sir, a Techstream data event like 1162.2 does not, well, let me back up this way. You testified on direct that you're involved in accident reconstruction. That's part of the work that you do, sir?
No, that is not part of the work that I do.
Well, let me clarify then. Do you at all understand whether there's an issue as to whether a collision actually occurred in this case? Do you understand if that's an issue?
Objection.
Sustained.
Sir, do you have any understanding about what Dr. Welcher in his slide presentation was addressing in context with this case? Do you understand it?
Objection.
I'll allow a yes or no.
No, I do not.
So you have no idea what your colleague, Dr. Welcher, who's working on the same case, was addressing in his slide presentation?
Generally, yes, but I cannot speak to it.
What do you generally understand?
Objection.
System.
What understanding do you have after reading Dr. Welcher's slide presentation?
Objection.
Sustained. Ask it to sustain.
Do you have any understanding? Can we approach, Your Honor?
Sure.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for your patience, Mr.
Yes,
Burgess.
Sir.
I would like to go back to the line of questioning I was starting, and that is I would like to discuss with you, and I'll start with your conclusion, and I'm going to reference your May 8th, 2025 report, sir. If you could turn to the conclusion section of your report, which is on page 7. And I'm going to start with, and I may just end with, we'll see, conclusion number 1. Please take a fair opportunity to read that. Pick your head up when you have concluded that fair reading.
Okay.
Now, that paragraph 1 states, under conclusions, you say the following can be stated to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty. 1. As noted in my initial report, the only call logs that can be used to compare and synchronize the clocks between Ms. Reed's Lexus and Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone are those occurring between 5:21 a.m. and 5:30 a.m., which occur approximately 5 hours after the collision. You see that, sir?
I do, yes.
Now, what I'd like you to do is to go back in your report.
Same report?
Yes, sir, same report, May 8th. And I'd like you to turn to page 3.
Okay.
And if you could go to the fourth full paragraph that begins with two events near the time. And let me know, sir, when you're there, and if you could read that paragraph, pick your head up after you've had a fair opportunity
okay.
to read it.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, you state two events near the time of the collision were recorded by the Lexus system as identified by Dr. Welcher and referenced by Mr. DeSogra. The first event, labeled Techstream Event 1162.1, is associated with a three-point turn on Cedar Crest Road. The second event, labeled Techstream Event 1162.2, is associated with a reverse maneuver on Fairview Road. These events will be referenced below for clock synchronization analysis. The timestamps associated with these two events are based on a combination of the Lexus infotainment power on event and Techstream time count. Did I read that correctly, sir?
Yes, you did.
So in the same paragraph, am I correct that you're discussing a couple of Techstream events, 1162.1 and 1162.2?
Yes.
And you are talking about that Techstream event in the same paragraph as you're talking about an alleged collision, correct?
Correct.
And in your paragraph of your conclusion that we were referencing, conclusion. One, is this paragraph part of the basis for that conclusion one? Is this sort of like some predicate analysis for conclusion number one?
No, no, it is not.
So it has no, your view, it has no relationship whatsoever to conclusion one?
No, correct.
So let's go to your discussion of a collision and a text stream event. Let's go back to paragraph three. You see, you mentioned the word collision in paragraph three, correct?
I do not.
I'm sorry, I just had paragraph three. I meant page three, sir.
Page three,
that paragraph we were just looking at. Paragraph four.
Yes, sorry, yes, I do say collision.
You see the word collision.
Yes.
And again, that term is used in the same paragraph as your identifying text stream events 1162.1 and 1162.2, correct?
Correct.
Where did you get the basis to use the word collision at that part of your report?
That would have been from crash reports.
And whose crash reports?
The Massachusetts State Police.
So you used Massachusetts State Police reports to discuss allegations of a crash, collision?
Yes.
Do you state anywhere in your May 8th report that you used those reports at all? Do you list it in your references?
No, not in this report, no.
And as a matter of fact, this is the first time, right this previous moment, that you are mentioning those reports at all, correct?
No, those were mentioned in my initial report.
But I'm talking about your May 8th report.
Yes, sorry, yes.
Okay. Your statements, and I want to clarify this because this is the ultimate topic I want to go to. It is not your conclusion that every text stream data event means that there is a collision, do you, sir?
No, that is not my conclusion.
So isn't it correct that you can have text stream events and they're not collisions?
Yes, you can.
And isn't it a fact that a text stream event, sometimes called a trigger event, is not like an airbag type deploying, correct? They're just, and we're going to get to this later, it's just something that happens with a Lexus vehicle that can cause the vehicle to register a text stream event, correct?
Correct.
And some people refer to text stream event as a trigger, correct?
Correct.
But there's many things that can happen with a vehicle that can cause a trigger, correct?
Correct.
We will come back to that. So you would agree, again, that a text stream trigger event does not mean that there was a collision, correct?
Correct.
A text stream data event doesn't mean that airbags were deployed, correct?
Correct.
A trigger data event doesn't mean that there was a vehicle impact, correct?
By itself, no.
By itself, correct. It doesn't mean, correct?
Correct.
A text stream data event merely refers to Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data from applications' databases and not devices and transporting that data for immediate processing and storage or for real-time analysis and analytics reporting, correct?
I don't think I understand your question. If you could rephrase.
Sure. A text stream event merely refers to Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data from applications and databases. Is that correct?
I would not call it applications and databases, no.
What would you call it?
So from various sensors or other modules on the vehicle.
Okay, so sure. It's Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data
from various sensors and modules on the vehicle, right?
Correct.
Why don't we stop here, Mr. Lessie?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go take our morning recess. So it's just 20 minutes.
All right, please.
All right, Mr. Lessie, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Burgess. I'm going to pick up, sir, where we left off. A TechStream trigger event does not automatically mean there was a collision, correct?
Correct.
A TechStream data event doesn't, without more, mean an airbag deployed, correct?
Correct.
A trigger data event doesn't mean, without more, that there was a vehicle impact, correct?
Correct.
A TechStream event merely refers to Lexus's practice of capturing real-time data from applications and databases, correct?
Sensors and other modules.
That's right. You said that earlier, sir. Sensors and modules. You reviewed the raw TechStream trigger events on Ms. Reed's vehicle, correct?
No, I did not.
Oh, you did not?
No.
Do you have an understanding whether Mr. DeSogra reviewed those events in his March 5, 2025 report?
I do not.
So, you did not review the raw data for TechStream trigger events on Ms. Reed's vehicle, and you did not, therefore, perform any analysis of that data as you sit here today, correct?
Correct, outside of what Dr. Welcher provided.
Are you aware that there were approximately 30 TechStream trigger events in an 8-month period on Ms. Reed's vehicle?
No, I'm not.
Assume the data shows that in the near 8-month period that Ms. Reed owned her vehicle, the Lexus in question, there were 30 TechStream trigger events. Assume that. You would not conclude that there were 30 collisions in that 8-month period, would you?
No, I would not.
Would you agree, sir, that there were actually 2 triggers on January 29th?
Yes.
And the first trigger that you referred to of 1162-1, that was not a collision, was it, sir?
Without reviewing the data, I don't know.
Well, as you sit here today, you have no basis to state that the 1162-1 trigger was a collision, do you?
No, I do not.
And in fact, didn't you refer to that as a 3-point turn?
I did, yes.
And you didn't mention in your direct testimony when you talked about the 3-point turn anything about a collision, did you?
No, I did not.
And as you sit here today, there's no fact or data that you have to conclude that there was any supposed collision associated with that 1162-1 3-point turn trigger event, correct?
Correct.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.